the professional and major league ball players that went down to the Panama Canal Zone at that time to play in the winter leagues. Go ahead, John.
There were quite a few of them that were, some were on their way up and some were on their way down, like Grozinski, the pitcher with the St. Louis Cardinals, who had been shot in the leg, and Steve Bilko, and what was the guy's name? I'm trying to think of these names, you know.
Don Bolway.
Don Bolway. Then one year there, the Yankees came down the train, and then another year, the Brooklyn Dodgers, they came down.
Didn't they have a series down there between them at one time?
Between the Dodgers and the...
And the Yankees?
No, they weren't down there the same year. The Yankees came down first.
Well, did they play games down there with the All-Stars?
Well, yeah, All-Stars. We had All-Stars. And we had quite a... Actually, the Canal Zone League was a pretty good Class B league.
Well, were you a full-time player in those days?
Yeah, you mean with the Canal Zone?
Yeah, and
yes.
At 45?
Yeah, we worked. We all worked down there, most of us. But then we'd bring some players down there, and all they did was play ball.
Well, didn't you also manage in those leagues?
Yeah, I managed Balboa and then also Diablo.
What, was that in 45 or after 45?
Oh, that was when I come down, let me see, in 46 I managed Diablo, 46 and 47, then in 48 I managed the Balboa, 48-49.
Did you have...
The season goes from... November, December into the next year.
That's why they call it the Winter League.
Yeah.
Did you have any outstanding names on your rosters when you were managing? Other than the great Leo Easton?
Well, I had a pitcher, and I just can't think of his name, but he went to the Giants. Very good pitcher. His first name, his last name was Jones. I can't remember his first name, but he wound up with the Giants, and that was in around 46, 47, maybe 48. He was in the service down here, down on the Canal Zone, and then he got out of the service, and then he went back to the States, and he joined the Giants then.
Well, how long did the Canal Zone League exist? After you went down there?
Well, I got down there in 45, and I think it broke up in 1950. But they kept the Panama that went on.
Yeah, well, they converted to the Republic of Panama, yeah. And at that time, Gerald, the old Canal Zone League went into the Republic of Panama, and I guess around that time, a lot of the Latin American ball players were starting to break into the major leagues. Back
Lopez.
In that, yeah. Yeah.
The Giants.
What was his name? His first name? Hector Lopez. His first Panamanian went to the majors. And also at that time, I guess was around when the first blacks started breaking into the major leagues, back in Jackie Robinson's
day. That was when Jackie Robinson came down with Brooklyn. That was the first year that he broke the color line.
Yeah.
1946. 46, 47.
In 46 and 47, I guess a lot of the major leaguers were coming back from the service. How did that affect the league down there?
Well, it hurt the league, the caliber of ball players. The real good ball players were going back to the States. And see, the way they paid their players down there, the only way they got money, they couldn't get it through the attendance, because the attendance wasn't that good. They sold a book, you know, with the advertisement in it. And each team sold its own book. You'd be surprised how much money they made out of the book.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Were their salaries down there in that league comparable to what they were making in professional ball in the States?
No, it wasn't. It wasn't anything like that. Because, well, it was close. But see, they only paid two or three times a week.
But did they get a lot of fringe benefits from the merchants down there?
Well, yeah, there was a lot of fringe benefits.
So they were pretty well taken care of while they were down there.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Well, Gerald Joe subsequently went to work for the Panama Canal Company down there and worked up until his retirement in 1972, at which time he retired as a sergeant in the lock security force there. This is the era in which I met Joe and subsequently married his youngest daughter, who just turned 40 yesterday. We're going to, at this time, go back and try to recap, or not recap really, we're going to go back and add a few things that Joe has forgotten, and hopefully this will conclude all the information that you're looking for. Okay, Gerald, I'm recapping paragraph 3 of the letter. You asked if he could name his own personal all-star list by position as he remembered it. Now, go ahead, Joe, and tell Gerald who you think, in your opinion, was the all-time all-star NYP league ball player.
Well, I'll start with catcher. Clyde McCoy, who went to the Cubs. George McQuinn, who went up to St. Louis. The Browns.
What position did George McQuinn play?
First base.
Okay.
Jimmy Hitchcock, who played third base for Binghamton. Billy Myers, shortstop for Elmira. George Tice, I don't think ever went to the big leagues, but he was one of the best minor league hitters I ever saw. Joe Dwyer, also great minor league hitter.
Now what position did he play?
Right field for Tice and left field for Joe Dwyer. Right-hand pitcher was Bob Klinger and Mort Cooper. They were both with the Elmira, New York, when the Cardinals had them. Now, one left-hand pitcher I remember is Mill Schaffner, but another one I know he pitched for a while with Binghamton. He belonged to the Yankees, and then the New York Giants got him. He wound up with the New York Giants during his whole career in the major league.
But you can't think of his name.
I can't think of it. No.
Okay, Gerald, going to paragraph 4. You're interested in the best and the worst ballparks in the NYP and some comments on Dunn Field.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, Dunn Field was the best ballpark in the league. Center field, your outfielders could roll them all over the place. You had a lot of, it's hard to hit a home run in Dunn Field. A lot of inside the park home runs were hit. And the worst one I ever saw was with, it was in York, Pennsylvania, where Lucky George pitched. And the lights were very bad there.
Was this the first year that they had lights, or were the lights?
This was in 1933. The lights were in all over baseball.
All right. You also questioned the yawning gap between the majors and the minors today, Gerald. How do you feel about that, Joe? Was it pretty similar to today's game of baseball? Yeah, it's on. Go ahead.
Well, baseball today, to me, I don't watch it much. I don't go to the ballpark anymore. I watch it on TV. But it seems to me it's a game of specialists. You get a guy that can play right field, throw the ball, you got a great arm, then you got a guy in left field who can run, you got a guy in center field, half the time they don't have to hit. Years ago when they were, when they went to the big leagues, they had to do everything. You had to hit, run, and throw. But now the gap is because they don't have minor league baseball. They don't have enough minor league leagues now. And so they don't learn their game well before they get to the big league. Now they're in the big leagues, they're learning how to play.
So what you're essentially saying is that the miners are not the proving ground today that they were years ago.
Not enough of them, no.
So, consequently...
The minor league, you usually worked up from D, C, B, A, double A, and then the major league. And you went through, you were learning something all the time as you moved up.
Consequently, a young ball player with anything on the ball today moves rapidly through the minor leagues into the major leagues, where they didn't do that years ago.
Well, there is no minor leagues today. There's only a few leagues. When we played, hell, it was over 100 leagues.
Well, what do you think?
Every class of baseball.
What do you think about the salaries the young rookies are getting today compared to your day?
That is a sore spot amongst old-time ball players. Of course, it's the times, and now you... I think the lowest salary you can get as a rookie is $30,000. I don't know in the beginning. Before, you got $3,000, you were lucky breaking it. A great ball player in those days, big favorite and all that. They were lucky they got $15,000 or $20,000. Al Simmons had a holdout 1 year after hitting .394. He had a holdout. He got a contract, I believe it was with the Athletics, for $40,000 for 3 years. He had to play 3 years to get it.
What do you think about guys like Pete Rose that draw multi-million-dollar salaries? You think he's worth it?
Well, let's put it this way. If they're paying that money, Pete Rose is a guy that deserves it. There's a lot of guys getting that money now that don't deserve it. But he's the type of ball player, if they're paying it, he should get it.